Message number two on the Epistle of Paul to the Galatians. Beloved radio friends, we welcome you to the study of God's precious word again. As we continue our study in the Epistle of Paul, written to the Galatians. This epistle we have only just commenced, and we continue today in chapter 1, and we will particularly read from verses 6 through 9, after the completion of the salutation we noted in the preceding message from verses 1 through 5. Now we come to a section beginning in verse 6, going to the end of the chapter, where Paul defends the authenticity, the genuineness of the gospel which he preached. But in verses 6, 7, 8, and 9, we find the great trouble that was giving the apostle some disturbing thoughts in relation to that gospel and the churches of Galatia. Listen to his words. They are very solemn. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another, or a different gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you, and would pervert or corrupt the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. These are the words of Paul from Galatians 1, verse 6 through verse 9, in which he begins the defense concerning the origin of the gospel which he preached. But he has to begin with words of amazement. But let us recall to our minds at the present moment that as we have read these words, and as we shall speak of them, we must not think that the problem that was raised in the day of Paul belongs in that past history. The very words that we have just read, they are as up to date now as when Paul wrote them centuries ago. There is today a constant conflict in the minds of many men between the true gospel and those who could be called today legalistic teachers. This seems to be a perpetual crisis. We have men today who would mix law and grace, as also did the Judaistic teachers long ago. Their perversion of the gospel is the same. They deserve the same anathema that Paul gave upon his opponents, as we have read it in this book of the Galatians. The same teaching that Paul was fighting against can still be heard up and down in the lands of Christendom. Teaching salvation by works, salvation by the law, instead of salvation by grace alone. May I repeat with emphasis, this prevails today. Wherever you find a system that does not preach salvation by grace alone, they have a system of good works as the basis of salvation. I state again the importance, as we shall see it, that salvation according to the true gospel of Christ is by grace alone. May we not repeat the words that we quoted yesterday from chapter 2 of this epistle of Galatians in verse 21. If righteousness came by the law or any other system of works, then Christ is dead in vain. My beloved, may I urge you, place not your confidence for your salvation upon anything but the atoning death and the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. For we are saved by grace, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now note in the sixth verse of our chapter 1 of Galatians, the amazement of the beloved apostle. Amazed that they were soon, so soon and quickly removed from the truth of the gospel which he had preached. For there was no other gospel. God has only one gospel. And if any man preaches another, not only man, says the apostle, but even an angel, let him be accursed. And he recognizes that the source of the difficulty in verse 7 came from those who would corrupt and pervert and twist the simplicity of the gospel of Christ. Let us realize again that there are still present in the world men who will twist the gospel of Christ instead of preaching simply salvation by grace through faith in our beloved and blessed Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work of Calvary's cross. Please note the double anathema, that is the double curse, which Paul reiterates relating to those who would preach any other gospel. In verse 8, whether an angel or men, let such an one be accursed. In verse 9 again, he repeats, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Please note very carefully his condemnation of these false teachers. There should not be any mixture from what Paul had already preached. There should be no addition to the gospel that he had given. It must not be tolerated. And may I add, it was not merely a question of taking away the gospel that these men were guilty of, but they were guilty of adding what was about the law to the gospel. Now, beloved, let me state very frankly and fearlessly, we cannot add to the gospel. We must not add to the gospel. Let me quote the words that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, how in verses 3 and 4, he declared the gospel which I have preached unto you, by which ye have believed, by which ye have been saved. Unto the Corinthians he declared it by stating, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. So may we reemphasize, nothing should be added, and neither anything taken from it. And Paul places a condemnation, a divine anathema, upon men who would add the law or any principle of works to the saving gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let us read verses 10 and 11 and 12. As Paul goes on to say, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I please men, I should not be the servant of God. Now will you please note that Paul realized that the kind of a message that he preached, the gospel which he proclaimed, was not always a pleasant message for men. They did not always enjoy it. Neither did he intend being a preacher who would seek to please men. Now let us realize, here is an important fact. The preacher of the gospel, if he preaches a true gospel, must recognize he must never seek to please and delight the minds and the hearts of men with his message. He has to please God. Paul said this was not his responsibility to please men. Neither is it the responsibility of any preacher of God's word to please men. Before every preacher, there is only one responsibility, and that is he must please God. And for he alone must be pleased with the soundness and the correctness of the message, God himself. For if pleasing men is the objective of a man's preaching, then as Paul declares, I will not be a true servant of Christ. May we not reemphasize this? Why should we emphasize it? Beloved, we must. Because there are many men today that preach just to please the audience. And to tickle their ears, perhaps. Or may I state emphatically, my responsibility in preaching over this radio program is not to delight you, though I do pray that God will bless the message to your eternal soul and salvation and blessing. But my responsibility is this, I must give an account of my message to God. And the quality, the correctness, the authenticity, the soundness of my message must be that it is according to what God delights to hear and the message which he himself has given to be preached. Now, as we go on in your note, particularly as we read verses 11 and 12 quickly, Paul's ministry of the true gospel declares the origin of it, that he got it not from men, but he got it of God. Please note verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. First of all, he declares where he did not get it. I never received it from men. You can name any human persons. You can name any human institution that may have been founded by men, but God's gospel never originated from any human source of any kind upon this earthly scene. It came from God. And then Paul reveals another amazing fact. For I neither received it of men, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. No man ever taught the beloved apostle Paul the gospel. For he says, I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it. I wonder if we grasp the significant fact of these words. Did you ever realize the apostle Paul was not converted by the preaching of the gospel by any man? And the account of his conversion in the book of the Acts chapter 9 makes that definitely clear. He had a sight of the risen glorified Savior who appeared unto him on the Damascus road. Now, beloved, let us recognize, and we shall see further as we study, the great importance of this gospel that Paul preached. He never received it of any man. He was converted between himself and the Lord alone. And so, what he preached, he declares, I never received it of man. My beloved, may I raise the question as we close. Do you believe the gospel, a message that came entirely and only from God, through Jesus Christ our Lord? May you know the meaning of the true gospel. Lord, bless thy truth in Jesus' name, we ask. Amen.